This episode is brought to you by Hyperice, the leader in advanced warm-up and recovery technology. They have tons of innovative products, like Venom-heated wearables to help soothe sore back muscles, Normatec compression boots to speed up recovery and increase circulation, and Hypervolt massage guns to improve mobility. Loved by athletes like Naomi Osaka and Erling Haaland. Try them yourself. Get 10% off your order with the code MOVE at hyperice.com.
Introducing Royal Caribbean's newest ship, Icon of the Seas, the ultimate family vacation. The ultimate six slides, eight neighborhoods, zero compromise vacation. The ultimate never done that, can't wait to do it vacation. The ultimate chillin' by a different pool every day of the week vacation. This is the Icon of Vacations. Icon of the Seas, arriving in 2024. Book today. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry Bahamas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to this episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. Well, the Raiders are a few days out from their thrilling victory in Dallas, and on the horizon you have the Washington football team. To discuss that, both games, and a much more, one of the best content creators out there, Ryan Holmes. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I am good. Now, when I look at this game, the game in Dallas, the first thing I see is you called it an aggressive approach and watching DeSean Jackson take 156 to the house. Pass, and that, like, when you saw the drop back, you saw the depth of the drop back, did you have a feeling that you knew that he was about Carr, he being Carr, was going to go up top?
Well, I would have hoped so. I mean, this is they needed to score points in this game because you knew that Dallas had firepower on the other side. And the Raiders did take their shots, and I thought they did a lot of it. They were aggressive on first down in this game, which was something we've been waiting for them to do. And there was a lot of play action, which they kind of got away from. So it wasn't just, you know, run on first down, throw the ball in the flat, get to third and four. The Raiders tried to stay out of third and long and ended up putting 36 points on the board. So it was good to see DeSean Jackson get that run. It's not just the touchdown catch when you break down the film. Like, he was open quite a bit in that game. They took some shots deep, got a PI. They got him on an out route for about 12 yards. They got him later on another over route where he was able to get free from Stephon Diggs. So he was running mostly, you know, stuff that Ruggs was running in this game. So it looks like they're trying to get him caught up to speed. He ended up taking 42 snaps. I'd expect that to increase. He's going to get a full load of snaps here going forward. I would think we're going to see him play close to 50 to 60 snaps a game, and he's going to take snaps away from Bryan Edwards, it looks like, and then some from Zay Jones. So the Raiders clearly have an idea of what they want to do with him, and it was good to see the Raiders be aggressive down the field.
I mean, 3-4, 102, and like you said, outside of the first long ball, he had that comeback route where Diggs gave him a ridiculous amount of cushion. Like, I hadn't seen that cushion for a 34-year-old wide receiver in a very long time. He gave him a lot of cushion, and he won on a comeback, basically. And I look at his offense, and you look at a team like Dallas where they have youth, and they have speed, and they have what they had going into that game generated many turnovers. When you look at Carr standing in the face of Micah Parsons being in his life just about every snap, what did Carr's performance show you?
Now, this is the tantalizing part of Derek Carr. There are games where he looks like he's a top you know, 5 to 10 quarterback in this league. It's just the consistency. He'll have, you know, 2, 3, 4 game stretches where he doesn't look anything close to that. And he's done that his entire career. And he did it again this year where he kind of disappeared there in the middle of the season. But this team's going to go as Derek Carr goes. And he did show the ability to stay in there. I thought, you know, overall, Micah Parsons is a freak. I mean, the guy runs a 4.3. He's got 10 sacks. He wasn't even an edge rusher at the beginning of the year. This guy could be a 15 to 20 sack guy if he played full-time defensive end and rushed the passer. So I thought, you know, Brandon Parker held up well enough, as you'd expect. He got beat a couple of times, but there were times where he had some nice blocks going into the game. But, you know, Derek Carr stepped up in the pocket and trusted his interior guys this week who did a pretty good job in pass protection. I think he was only sacked twice. And one of them, he got out of the pocket on the third down and kind of stuck the ball forward. So it wasn't a traditional pocket sack. So really he got sacked once in the pocket. But he stood in the pocket. He threw the ball downfield. He got hit a couple times. He was willing to stand in there and take those shots to get those big plays down the field. And I thought after Waller went out, like, he still, you know, hung in there and he gave his guys some chances, which is all we've been asking. Throw the ball down the field. Good things can happen. They got quite a few defensive pass interference penalties. And the funny thing watching the tape, Dallas had hands on guys 10, 15 yards down the field the whole game. They could have called illegal contact or holding 5 or 6 times. So it's not like they just nitpicked those pass interferences. And then even the play, I don't know if you remember it. It was, I want to say, 3rd and 12, mid-third quarter, maybe early fourth quarter, where Carr took the shot down the field to Jones up the left sideline that almost got intercepted.
Yeah.
You flip over and look at the other side of the field, DeSean Jackson put a double move and put Diggs in a blender. He got behind him by 3 or 4 yards, and he roasted him on that route. So if, you know, Carr went to the other side, he might have got a touchdown. But either way, you know, that aggressive needs to happen. And the Raiders are only score on offense when they take those shots down the field. They're just not built to be that short intermediate team. And let's just pray that Darren Waller's back this week, because it's going to look a lot different if teams know Darren Waller's not going to be there and they can game plan for the Raiders.
With that knee, Waller was out early. And to your point, like you said, this is a car that is the car that most car diehards see all the time, but most rational people don't. This is the car that we hope for each and every single week. There is the arm talent. There's the aggressiveness. There's a toughness. That dude takes shots. Micah Parsons was hitting him hard, and he kept getting up. And you're like, oh, okay. I mean, it speaks to that big moment, and it was a game that they needed to win. With the whole division above 500, they definitely need to win. Now, I want to kind of talk about Josh Jacobs a few. He did average just about 4 yards a carry, but then it seemed at times, I mean, did he limp off a couple of times, or did he just seem like, I mean, the wear and tear? He ran well, and he showed what you expect from him. But do you think that 22 carries is going to be pretty much his high watermark for the rest of the way per game?
I don't. I think there might be a week here where he approaches 25. It's just going to depend on the nature of these games. The Raiders have been behind in a lot of games and playing catch-up where they haven't been able to try to run the ball. I thought he did look pretty good in this game, bouncing ball stuff outside, you know. He did have that one big run up the middle. The offensive line's not doing any help here. You know, Andre James went back to kind of the old Andre James we saw earlier in the season, where he was pretty bad in this game. Run blocking, especially on that 3rd and 1, he just basically missed the guy altogether, and Jacobs got stuff. But I would expect him to get, you know, 15 to 20 if the Raiders are in these games. You know, there's going to be weeks where it's more than 20. They're about to go into some cold weather games here at Kansas City, at Cleveland, where they're going to need to run the ball 30 times. And so Jacobs is going to get those opportunities. Kenyon Drake has kind of been phased out of this offense, it seems, the last couple of weeks after looking really good for 2 or 3 weeks. So I don't know what's going on there. Jalen Richard got just as many downs as him. I think Jalen Richard's taking those third down snaps away, which is kind of confusing, because Kenyon Drake, to me, is the one difference maker in the backfield on passing downs that can make something happen. But they're needing to keep guys in to help help the offensive line, and that's where Rashard comes in. But, you know, Jacobs has gotten through this season. He clearly, like you said, he limped off at one point. But he's a running back in this league. They all get dinged up. Christian McCaffrey just went on injured reserve. He started 6 of the 33 games that Matt Rhule has been the coach of the Panthers, I think I saw. So, I mean, it's going to happen. He's not going to be 100%, but, you know, I'm more worried about the drop on that seam pass they threw to him. I mean, it could have been a big play. Like, he's got to make the most of those opportunities in the passing game. And they actually ran that play again in the fourth quarter, but they got zone coverage, so they had to check it down to Zay Jones. But it's good to see them trying to get him involved in the passing game up the field, which is what he did really good at Alabama. We just haven't seen that much in the Raiders' offense.
As an observer, it was interesting to watch Derek Carr pick on Anthony Brown. Normally, you see opposing quarterbacks pick on Raider defenders. Anthony Brown, coming into this game, had one penalty the entire season, which was for illegal contact against the Vikings. He had 4 PIs, 4, in this game, and I'm relishing it because once after one or two, you're in his head. Just keep on throwing at him to see what he never covered. I haven't seen a cornerback or defender have that bad of a outing in a very long time, and I'm hoping that aggressiveness sticks. Now, with that, how do you think, if you had to grade the play calling A through F, what would you give the Raiders?
For this last game in particular?
Yes.
Probably a C+. I still think they leave a lot to be desired, especially in the run game. The run game at this point is so vanilla that other teams pretty much know what they're running. It's basically inside zone slice or split zone, whatever you want to call it, where the tight end down blocks. The Raiders run that at a very high clip. And you see linebackers just attacking the line of scrimmage. The minute the Raiders get into certain looks with certain personnel, the 3rd-and-1 call they were calling it on the broadcast was pretty obvious what they were going to run there. So they need to mix it up. I'd like to see a little bit more power and gap schemes. This week's going to be interesting because I think with Washington, the strength of their team is the interior of that defensive line without Chase Young or Montrez Sweat. So I want to see more of the pin and pull, get the ball outside, some toss plays, and try to establish the corners and not just try to run up the middle. Which would be good to get Drake involved in some of those runs. But, I'd like them to see it be a little bit more creative. I did like the fact they went back to more play action on 1st-and-10, which is where they got a lot of their explosive plays in heavy formations. But there are a lot of times where, you know, we know just from watching the TV pretty much what they're going to be calling. So I would really like Olsen to mix this up, mix in some more routes, get Bryan Edwards more involved. Again, I think he had 2 or 3 targets, again, running a lot of vertical stuff down the field that just doesn't suit him. And he did have digs on him for most of the game, which allowed the other two guys to get some targets. But it'll be interesting. Get the tight ends more involved. Would have liked to see Moreau get more involved once Waller went out. But we'll see. I mean, they won. At the end of the day, it's just win, baby, so we can't be too nitpicky. But the Raiders do have a chance here to get a lot better in the next couple weeks.
They have a chance to actually get healthy, like not just physically, but actually get healthy with being able to stack the wins. And there's, you know, being 6-5 is a good thing. When we come back from break, we're going to talk about the defense and preview the Washington football team game. You are listening to Full Press Raider podcast on the FPC Radio Network.
I'm Alex Rodriguez,
and I'm Jason Kelly
from Bloomberg. This is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Does Monday at the office feel like a storm? Not with Microsoft Copilot. That feeling when Copilot gets everyone up to speed instantly? It's sunny again. When Copilot simplifies complex data so your teams can act, that sun's shining on a beach. And when Copilot uncovers hidden insights, you're on that beach with your people and you find buried treasure. That's Microsoft Copilot. Learn more at Microsoft.com/AI for all.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Getting engaged is a moment worth cherishing. A one-of-a-kind ring that you design at Blue Nile can help your love sparkle. Just choose your diamond and setting. When you've found the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Finding the right engagement ring can be nerve-wracking. At Blue Nile, you'll have the expert guidance needed and a diamond guarantee that ensures you're getting the highest quality at the best price. Cherish all of life's moments and save up to 30% at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back with the Full Press Raiders podcast. Terrence Biggs, Ryan Holmes. Ryan, when we look at the defense, and there's a clip out there of Max Crosby destroying the Dallas right tackle on the bull rush where he pretty much deposits the right tackle into the lap, actually on top of Dak Prescott. And you have Yannick Ngakoue on the other side. I can barely remember a time when you had two defensive ends being able to generate such a pass rush. They're going to face Washington, and Taylor Heinicke he's not immobile, but he's not going to beat too many people on 50, 60-yard runs. Do you think that they can generate enough pressure with four?
Against Washington, absolutely. I think Washington is going to struggle along the offensive line. I don't know. I want to say Brandon Scherff is injured. I'd have to look more into the injury reports of the week alone, but I think he's missed some time here recently. So if he's out, you're basically looking, they have a rookie right tackle. They have Charles Leno, who's okay at left tackle, but not a world beater by any stretch. And then inside with Chase Rollier, I think, is their center. And then I think Eric Flowers is at left guard. So there's definitely matchups there. The Raiders can get after them attacking those tackles. And you're going to see, hopefully, Max Crosby and Yannick Ngakoue get up the field. The concern here, again, is Heinicke can move a little bit, so, you know, that scrambling quarterback could be an issue. I thought the big takeaway I had from watching the film is I thought Max Crosby from the broadcast was just okay this week. I thought it was one of his down efforts. But when you go back and watch the film, like, it looked to me like they tried to keep Dak Prescott in the pocket. And he was rushing right down the middle of, like, with the bull rushes on that right tackle. He wasn't trying to get around the corner, bend the edge like he normally does. It looks like they kind of had a game plan where they let Ngakoue get up the field, but they wanted to keep Prescott from rolling to his right. I could be wrong, but that's just what it looked like. So hopefully this week it's pin your ears back, get after him. I thought Solomon Thomas had a very good game on the interior too. So hopefully he continues to play well in his limited snaps, but you know, overall, I think the defensive line is going to have an opportunity to create plenty of havoc against the football team.
Scherff played on the 21st, and I don't see him in the injury report. So that'll be interesting. I honestly, this is a game that I truly think the Raiders are going to win. And everyone knows me; I'm not one to pick them. But it lines up absolutely perfectly. You have offensive line woes on Washington's side of the ball, and you have a strong pass rush. Now, to this point, we're about 11 games in. Is there a player on this defense that you think still needs to have the light turn on for him and try to, you know, like a wake-up moment?
For the Raiders?
Yes.
Yeah, to me, the one player we're still waiting for is, I'll give you two. It's still, to me, it's Corey Littleton, and then also Jonathan Abram. I think Littleton is doing well when he has to cover vertical routes in 3-by-1 sets. He's doing about as well as you can, but still it's the impact plays for what they're paying him. It's the interceptions. It's the sacks. It's pass breakups, and he's basically just dropping in the zone and making tackles. So the impact is just not there for what they're paying him for, and that's not his fault that the Raiders overpaid him. But, you know, you're still waiting to see glimpses of what he did with the Rams, and now that he's almost a year removed from the Paul Gunther system, he's still having those issues. And then for me, Jonathan Abram, you know, for every play he makes, he's still leaving a lot on the field. The blown coverage, thankfully, they called a hold that saved a touchdown. But, you know, he still isn't making those impact plays that you're looking for, the turnover-worthy difference makers. He's, you know, he's up close to line of scrimmage, and people want to call him Jamal Adams, but Jamal Adams gets sacks. He makes plays in the passing game. You know, Jonathan Abram, they're not really bringing him on a ton of blitzes, so he's not getting those opportunities. He's not forcing fumbles. He's not getting really interceptions other than I think he had one in the Denver game late in the game. But, you know, just those difference makers on the defense. Who on this defense is going to take the ball away that's not Crosby or Ngakoue? And we're just not really seeing the secondary. For as many plays as they make on the ball, they're not getting interceptions.
At times, to your point, that's why Dallas being a point offense scored over 30 points. Though the Raiders seem like they wait for either Ngakoue or Crosby to make the big play. It's the old, like, not an old baseball adage, but an old thought of, you know, you're kind of waiting for that three run home run to happen and realize you just need one run here, one run here, and kind of chip away. And there has to be more to this deep. Like, I like the fact that Denzel Perryman is in. I like the fact that Denzel Perryman shows the toughness. Some of his decision-making at times, you know, is going to catch a flag, but it's got to be something. And that secondary is just, it's there. It's, I'm not sure what much more Ron Miles can do, but it's there. Now, if we look at the Washington football team, we look at, you know, Terry McLaurin, and as good of a receiver as he is, I think that Casey Hayward matches up with him well. McLaurin's not, he's not slow, but he's not a speedster. He's not going to, like, just beat you just dead on the go. He's going to use his ability to trace sharper routes. Hayward has been superlative to this point. Now, if you had to predict a score for this game against the Washington football team, what would you say it is?
This is tough because, you know, the fan of me just wants to say, oh, they're going to blow them out. This is going to be an easy win. The Raiders are going to win this game. But this is the kind of game the Raiders need to show me something. They're going home. They have an opportunity to get a game here to force, you know, a big matchup in Kansas City the next week. So are they looking forward to that Kansas City game? Are they reading their press clippings? They went home for Thanksgiving. They've had 10 days off. I think this game is going to be closer than people think. I don't think the Raiders are going to be able to run the ball very well this week, so it's going to come down again to the passing game. Can they get turnovers? I don't know, but I still think they win this game fairly comfortably. So I'll go Raiders 27, and then I'll say Washington football team, you know, 16 or 17. Let's say 27-17. So, you know, 10-point win here. Maybe the Raiders score late to pull away, but I think this is going to be a close game as we go into the fourth quarter. I don't think they're just going to blow them out.
I was saying that too, but then, like I said, they're missing their ends, and they play tonight, so I'm not sure what if there's an injury that would happen or something would happen tonight. So I would have said 31-26, but I don't know. The Raiders, for them, to show that they can win the games against teams they should be able to put away easily, I see it 33-20. I mean, it's not quite a blowout, but it's comfortable in the fact that I think Washington scores a touchdown late to make it 33-20. So it looks better in the stat sheets. But how can people interact with you? Sorry, I'll go ahead.
I was going to add one more thing. You know what I want to see in this game more than anything is Derek Carr come out, be aggressive, and just put his foot down, because Jack Del Rio made some comments about Derek Carr a year or two ago about him not being able to play well late in seasons and him not being able to play well in the cold. Now, granted, this isn't a game in the cold, but if I was Derek Carr, I would print out those comments and I'd paste them in the locker room this week. And I would have I'd want to give it to Jack Del Rio a little bit extra this week for some of the comments he made. I know Derek took the high road and said, well, I believe he was there too during those times, but Derek should have a little extra chip on his shoulder this week to go against Del Rio.
You have, just what you mentioned, I want to, that's the last point, like you have a guy in Carr who takes the slings and arrows, and when you have Jack Del Rio throwing him under the bus, that makes it personal now. You have somebody who, for better or for worse, like or don't, Derek Carr is coachable. He's the ultimate team guy when it comes to taking things on his shoulders. I know that I can't stand those press conferences, but at least he attempts to take ownership of when things fail. You have Jack Del Rio, who people said it when he was in Jacksonville. He'll give you one good year, and then the rest is not so much. And Carr took he took that and didn't say anything. And for me, this is personal for Carr. How can people interact with you on social media?
Yeah, they can reach out to me, rholm22, R-H-O-L-M 22. Shoot me questions, respond to some of the stuff that I tweet out. I usually do a lot of stat stuff early in the week after I do the film breakdown. This week might be a little bit slower since they played on Thursday and I got all the video out on Saturday. But, yeah, they can reach out to me on Twitter.
Honestly, and I'm not saying it because he's on the show. This is the straight-up truth. One of the most informative folks out there as far as being able to post plays and tell you what you see. It's crystal clear and it's honest. He doesn't hedge either way, doesn't show any fandom and say, you know, this is what the play was, this is what happened. Blatantly honest all the time. Ryan Holmes, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast.
Thank you.
This has been another episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.